XC90 has received numerous awards for its safety ratings, making it the natural choice for you and your family. Volvo Cars of Memphis has the safest cars on the road today and at a price you can afford. Volvo Cars of Memphis has served Memphis with an unmatched quality of service. You expect the best price, the best service, and the safest cars at Volvo Cars of Memphis. Drive safe. Drive a Volvo from Volvo Cars of Memphis.
JJ Hottail here for Direct Auto and Life Insurance. You wouldn't go to the beach without sunscreen.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
So why go driving without auto insurance? Maybe you think because you have a lapse in coverage, you can't get a great rate. Well, put your sunscreen on and head over to Direct Auto to speak with a friendly local agent near you. Don't go without. Go with Direct. Stop by a Direct Auto location, call 1-877-GO-DIRECT, or visit directgeneral.com today. Direct General Group, Nashville, Tennessee. Premium and pay plans vary. Costs may vary based on how you buy.
Favorite 92.9 FM ESPN on the radio.com app. Your home of the Jeff Calkins Show. Weekdays from 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing on what. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write.
He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. They're on a rampage. Bubbles popping up because you know where. There's rubble and dust because we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say you
got the scraper out this morning.
You have a scraper, Jeffrey?
I do, indeed. And I have the little spray, thanks to my mother, that helps make the scraper.
There's a spray?
Yes, there is a spray. It's
that
yellow.
It magically melts the stuff?
Pretty. No, I wouldn't say
it's
magically.
Yellow, is it?
Yeah, it is.
So now you're that's kind of gruesome from your mother?
Uh-huh.
That's lovely.
Uh-huh.
No.
It's warm.
It's funny. I grew up in a family that was
resourceful.
No. Had this weird sense of toughness. Mm-hmm. We don't care. Like it's wimpy to take precautions,
mm-hmm.
right? The quintessential example, which I may have discussed before, is back when I had a pet raccoon named Cricket.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my friends and I were in the back of the station wagon, you know, the seat in the back, mm-hmm. the way back
that faced,
as they call it,
they call it
the way back,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It was like a Country Squire, mm-hmm. a Ford Country Squire station wagon,
mm-hmm.
and
we had a Volvo one, and yes,
and
we had the way back.
Been down to some Earth Day event. In Hamburg, New York.
Have you been getting high?
And it was like three of my friends and me, and then Cricket was in the car and my mom. And Cricket went bananas and started attacking my mother. Like
just as she's driving.
As she's driving, hanging off of her arm with her teeth. Like just blood everywhere. Mom was, get in the way back, get in the back, get in the far back, like that. And so
didn't
we all
miss a beat.
Clambered in the back. And she just kept driving. And then we get home, and it's like nothing has happened. And she just, like, slaps some toilet paper on the cut and moves on. Right?
Maybe a dabble of hydrogen peroxide?
No, that's too
for the rich people.
That's too fussy. And so when it came to, you know, I grew up in snowbank country in Buffalo, New York. And the idea of this is irresponsible. But the idea of you could come out and there'd be a foot and a half of snow on top of your car, and then including the windshield and whatever. And all you'd do is you would just take your cup of coffee, because you had a cup of coffee everywhere you went, and you'd set the coffee on the dashboard in front of you, and the mist would create a little hole from the coffee, and you just drive by looking out the little hole. And you'd be driving along, and snow would be totally irresponsible. Couldn't see a damn thing, and snow would be flying off the car, hitting other people, blocking their whatever. But it was the idea that it was you'd take the time to clear off your car was deemed wimpy, unspoken wimpiness.
Well, it also, I feel like your family feels like a family where time was definitely a resource that was finite.
I guess.
And you could have wasted.
There's no excuse for this. There's just no, because the truth of the matter is you're driving slowly as you creep along, looking out the little creep. Anyway, I got the, I got the scraper out today. Now that I live in the South, I own a little scraper.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out and I scraped Andrew's window, the windshield.
Very
this
nice
morning.
Very nice, Dad.
And then I went out and I scraped my own. I didn't scrape the whole car. I just
right,
scraped,
just enough for
the part
see.
In front of you.
Yeah, well,
like I didn't.
Yeah.
Do you do the whole windshield, or you just do half the windshield?
You 100% know the answer to that.
Just the part in front of you.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. I think that's okay. It's better than just the cup of coffee. But I trust all of y'all, as I now can say, because I live in the South and I've been here for 23 years. I can say all y'all. I hope all y'all had a safe commute today.
God, it was cold.
And it was cold. And not only that, it remains cold. But we will make it through. We will make it through in part because I have a special guest today. My friend Charles Fishman, who I refer to occasionally,
mm-hmm.
Is an author.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote a book called The Walmart Effect,
mm-hmm.
Which was a bestseller. And then he wrote a book called The Big Thirst, was about water.
Mm-hmm.
And then he ordered a book about curiosity with the producer, Brian, who works with Ron Howard. Brian Glazer. Brian, that dude.
Yes. Spiky hair.
That dude, yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. And now he's writing a book on the moon landing.
Well, isn't this just convenient?
On the moon landings, and he's literally... he's finishing the last
what
chapter.
What moon landings?
Very good question.
Mm-hmm.
He's finishing the last chapter this week. So Steph Curry believes that man never meant to the moon. And so later on this hour.
As everyone knows, it was a studio in Van Nuys.
Stanley Kubrick just invented the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's good arguments on both sides of
this.
I think they're good people on both sides of this.
Mm.
Steph Curry on one side,
mm-hmm.
Charles Fishman on the other.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have Charles make mm-hmm. his case at 9:50 or so.
I have the audio of Steph making his case as well.
We'll pit them against each other.
Equal opportunity.
Two great intellects.
Mm-hmm.
Two great intellects.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Davidson versus Harvard showdown,
mm-hmm.
and we'll see who wins.
David versus Goliath, literally.
And we'll see how Goliath does.
Mm-hmm. I like their chances.
We'll put it up to a vote. We'll play both sides and we'll let the people decide. Do they believe Steph or do they believe Charles Fishman? We will do that at 9:50 or so. Moon landing? No moon landing. Before that, we're going to talk to Gary Parrish in the next segment. We will talk to Gary about all manner of things, including the Memphis versus Tennessee showdown, which is now a sellout. No surprise, I don't think. The surprise is that there hasn't been a sellout. This was in the release yesterday. Phil Stukenberg, my former colleague's release. It is the first sellout since John Calipari was the head coach, which is saying something, isn't it? Is that remarkable to you?
It's unbelievable. Almost a decade.
You would have thought Josh would have had one or two.
Because there were some big games. Like, I would have thought that Gonzaga game that was, because it was like a Saturday night. It was like, I believe it was like an 8 o'clock tip or whatnot. There was a Louisville game in there. Like, I would have thought.
Oh, yeah. They play. I understand that at the end, it was tenants was dying on the vine. So it doesn't surprise me that the last 2 years of Josh didn't
have a sellout.
But I would have thought the first year when people were rallying wildly around him to prove that they still love Memphis basketball.
He's not John!
Right, exactly. Rallying around the He's Not John chant. One of the great rallying cries. It's right up there with Live Free or Die.
Yes.
whatever. Remember the Maine? And he's not John.
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought that...
The British are coming.
Whatever else. No taxation without representation. Mm-hmm. And he's not John. You would have thought that that would have brought people into the... and filled it up the place. But it evidently did not. And now it will be with the help, let's be clear, of our friends from Tennessee. It's the same thing with the Liberty Bowl.
For sure.
The only time you get a sellout, you can get 50,000 for Navy, 55 for Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings in the Navy folks from Millington,
yep.
Right? But you can't fill the Liberty Bowl with Memphis fans. It's true. It's just true. You can't fill the Liberty with Memphis fans. You can fill them with Memphis fans and 10,000, 15,000 Ole Miss fans.
Mm-hmm.
You can fill it with...
probably need 20.
Might need 20. Nah, you can get... What's the Liberty? What's the capacity?
60, I believe.
Yeah, so you can... There are 45,000 Memphis fans, because we've had that before many times. So I think you really only need 10 to 15 Ole Miss fans to fill it. But you can't fill FedEx.
So now with the last renovation, we're at 58,318.
Yeah, you can certainly get... You only really need 8... You're at 58. I think you can certainly get 45,000 Memphis fans in a place. So, and for Ole Miss, probably even more than that. But anyway, so we will talk about that with GP. Charles Fishman is going to debate Steph Curry live on the air at 9:50 or so. Chris Harrington, I bet he's on the side of pro moon landing, but he will join us to talk about what we are about to talk about. Which is a little bit depressing. And then NFL Big Facts will do in the second hour as well. And somewhere in there, we should talk about this whole deal with the American Athletic Conference and the grant of rights deal. Did you see the story? The story is essentially that they're negotiating the American Athletic Conference television contract as we speak.
Yep.
Right? So, but one of the issues is that is that the conference can get more money if the schools, individual schools, sign over their television rights for the duration of the contract.
Correct.
Okay.
That's how the SEC does it. That's how most big conferences do it, I think, except for the
Big 12. And the challenge with that is if you've done that, you are no longer worth anything to any other conference.
Correct.
That's particularly true for UCF. Because UCF, let's be clear, has outdistanced itself from the rest of the members of the American Athletic Conference just in terms of the winning streak and glamour and
But let's
PR
also be clear, they could do more, as Greg Sankey told us.
They should look inward and do more. But so the question is that if you are UCF, or to a lesser extent, UConn, Cincinnati, Memphis, the ones who really aspire, even if it's a long shot, to get into a Power 5 conference... Do you sign a grant of rights? Stuart Mandel has a piece on The Athletic right now saying that the Big 12 should add UCF. It's a golden opportunity is what it says. Golden opportunity. So what do you do there? What do you do there if you're Memphis?
Probably don't sign it. And I'm gambling.
But if you're Memphis, I don't think you really see a realistic shot that you're going
to
get into.
No, but you have to bank on – you do have to think a little – You do have to take a little bit of risk, but you also have to bank on the idea that if this starts going the way that it appears that it's going, the Power Five are going to, at some point, more than likely break off, form their own entity, and they're going to need more people to fill out their schedules. And so then you're trying to get it in at that point.
What if you? Yeah, it's very complicated. Maybe we'll talk.
Do you see my point?
Yeah. No. I understand that. I just don't know. Like, what if you could get $10 million a year? I'm just throwing out numbers. These are not the numbers.
Right.
What if you could get $10 million a year if you sign away your rights, okay, and $2 million a year if you don't? And the odds are you won't get into a Power 5 conference. And for Memphis, that $8 million, this is totally just making this stuff up.
No, I understand.
But
I mean, that is roughly about, I don't know if that's the bigger, the biggest question to me is, okay, well, if we pull together and sign a grant of rights, I need to know what the financial difference would be, because I'm not sure it'd be I'm not sure it'd be like that.
They're pitching it that it's a big. I mean, this is all the story from the Sports Business Journal.
Right,
yesterday.
Because the
Sports Business Journal yesterday brought this thing up and said that there's and they suggested different things. That there might be different tiers for schools that do and don't grant their rights. That the schools you could be paid more if you do. Certain schools would be
sure.
Like whatever. It's we'll talk to Gary about it as well. All right. We do, however, have to address. I put it off as long as I possibly could. We also have no highlights to play this morning because the Memphis Grizzlies went down to defeat at the hands of the Denver Nuggets last night. And it was a, you'd say a disappointing loss, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you say it was disappointing? And they had an opportunity that squandered.
Given how many injuries they had.
Given there was no Millsaps, given there was no Gary Harris, given that Jamal Murray wasn't 100%, given some of the lineups they threw out there.
Yeah, and also given how the Grizzlies in the first half shot the basketball really well, they just turned it over about every other possession.
Their bench players shot the ball really well. Listen, there were some issues. There's lots of things people are talking about from this game. Obviously, Jokic was dramatically better than he was in the last game against the Grizzlies when he took one shot.
Mm-hmm.
Literally one shot.
Yeah.
This time, he scored 27 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists. So
slightly better.
That was an issue. The Grizzlies rebounding continues to be an issue.
Water's
between
wet.
Them, the starters had 12 rebounds.
That seems not effective.
So that is an issue. The Nuggets got 30 more than 30% of the offensive rebounds. Down the stretch, it was a mess, including one possession. They're down three. Mark has an open shot.
Mm-hmm.
Passes it up.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Anderson has an open
shot.
Passes it up.
Uh-huh.
Ends up, Mike Conley has to force something, which is way too often happens with this team.
As is
Mike has to just throw something up.
Yes.
And whatever. Mike's hurt anyway, but So that wasn't good. The Jaren Jackson Jr. issue continues to be a big talking point among the Memphis fans, and understandably so. He was not in there in the end, even though he had just one foul. Played 20 minutes, he had one foul, and he was not in there at the end. He also wasn't good
at all.
So, like, I understand the, particularly, this is what we were talking about before. With JB in the lineups, when it doesn't work, when it doesn't produce a W, you're going to be criticized for the lineup, right? And it did not produce a W, and so you're criticized for the lineup. And I understand Jaren Jackson Jr. is the future, and Jermichael Green is not, but Jermichael Green had a better game last night than Jaren Jackson Jr.
Unquestionably.
It's unquestionably true. Jaren Jackson Jr. had 6 points and didn't rebound. He had 6 points and 3 rebounds.
Yeah, there was like an open three from the corner where like you could tell he was like clearly like trying to guide it in, and I was like, ooh boy, that's gross.
So I understand, and particularly once you lose it anyway, let's lose with Jaren Jackson Jr. Let's lose with the upside. Let's lose with the kid. Particularly when a team is struggling. I honestly thought the weird thing was that the player who played effectively and then wasn't in the second half was Marshawn Brooks.
Yeah.
Like, he was good.
He was 4-for-4 to start.
And then we never saw him again.
I know.
Let's be honest, the bench players were good, the starters were not, and yet, in the end, what he closed with was the starters plus Jermichael Green.
Yeah.
Instead of Jaren Jackson Jr., even though they weren't good. But we can go round and round and round about all of this stuff, and people like to debate the Jaren Jackson Jr. thing because that's a talking point, a good talking point. But I hate to say this. This comes down to exactly what we said at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Mark and Mike.
Yep.
Mike and Mark.
Yep.
Mark and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Mike and Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Mike and Mark. Mike and Mark. Well, that's what this team, like, as they go, so goes the Grizz.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that. We'll start with Mike.
Okay.
He actually, in the end, you can tell he's still hurt. He did not shoot well. He was 5-of-14, but he got to the line. He scored 19 points, and before he left with that leg injury briefly, he the Grizzlies were on a 20-6 run to take the lead.
Yep.
He leaves. Guess what happens?
The Grizzlies lose the lead.
The Nuggets go on an 11-2 run to take the lead back. Mike Conley, ladies and gentlemen, even an injured Mike Conley, is critical to the success of this team. And then Mark is the even bigger issue, because Mark has just not been himself since he sprained his ankle against Toronto. And I'm sure there's the few among you who are Mark anti-markers.
Mm-hmm. Haters.
This is Mark drifting. No, this is Mark. Mark was, before Mark was injured, he was really good.
Statistically, he was the best player in the league.
In the league?
Yep. He had the number one real plus minus.
Oh, right, yeah. Right. He was tremendous. And then since that injury, he is averaging basically 10 points, 5 rebounds, and 31% shooting.
Essentially half of what his production was.
Essentially half of what his production was. And he was just drifting through the game last night. Yes. He wasn't like...
He was trying to finish.
And I don't... Do I believe it's because Mark has decided that he's has no work ethic?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that seems fair.
No, it's because Mark is not Mark. And so here we are. Like, this is exactly... They're not gone from the lineup. This isn't last year where Mike Conley is just off recovering and wherever. But they're there and not there. And if they're not there and fully engaged, this team doesn't have enough offensive firepower to make up for it.
No, it's the concern that you laid out in July. It's the common refrain.
It's why they are so necessary, is because there's not much around them that can make up for it.
Exactly.
And so that's what we have. And now you've got a series of games coming up where nothing's must win at this point. But you've got Portland, who started out really well and have not been as good since, at home. You've got the Heat, who have not been very good at home. And then you've got Houston, which has been a tire fire. If you're going to get Houston, you get them now, right?
Absolutely.
I think if you're the Memphis Grizzlies, I think it is imperative to win two out of those three games.
I could even make a case you got to win all of them.
I'll take two out of three. If I could lock in two out of three right
now,
that would steady the ship.
Okay.
So, all right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Gary Parrish about all manner of things. The Jeff Dawkins Show. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Dashing down the street with candles all aflame, by car, by horse, by feet. Hooray for holiday games! Very small and bright, a scratchable delight. What fun it is to play and give holiday games tonight! Holiday games, holiday games, holiday instant games. Oh, what fun they are to play throughout the holidays!
Give the gift of holiday instant games only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
The big guy's not going to like these.
Why not? They're slim, light, and easy to add on to gifts. He'll be over his sled when he sees them.
I don't know, Reggie. There's more to the Tennessee Lottery holiday instant games than you think. We're giving away real chances to win. And guess who has to deliver all that loot?
I don't know. The lottery?
Oh, good point.
This winter, get to work on our newest bundle of holiday instant games. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing, elf-approved fun. Please play responsibly.
Attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
You hear the phrase a lot this time of year. Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays. But holidays are not always happy, particularly for guys grappling with a divorce that they didn't choose. Suddenly, these husbands and dads are thrust onto battlefields where the fate of everything they care about will be decided. In the meantime, they must await the outcome in someone else's home this holiday season. These men need more than the help of a good lawyer. They need the hope and encouragement of a good friend. Chances are I've described someone that you count among your friends. Be sure to remember him this season.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Memphis attorneys. A partner men can count on. 901-362-3666. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. 6000 Poplar Avenue, Suite 225, Memphis, Tennessee. Tennessee 38119.
This is what people are saying about James Gaddis Jewelers.
We love James Gaddis Jewelers. Everyone there is so friendly. My husband designed my engagement ring there, and we got his wedding ring there, too, because we like the people that work there so much. They treat us like we're the most important customers in the store. James Gaddis is our jeweler.
I purchased my wife's engagement ring and wedding ring at James Gaddis Jewelers and experienced nothing but really excellent service and value. They greeted me by name every time I went into the store and helped me find just the right ring I was looking for. She absolutely loves it, and I wouldn't go anywhere else but Gaddis Jewelers.
She'll never forget the year you gave her a gift from James Gaddis Jewelers. Hi, this is James Gaddis. This year, let us be your holiday destination and see why we've been voted the best jewelry store. Come shop with us at 4900 Poplar at Mendenhall and continue the family tradition at James Gaddis Jewelers.
It's time to get your game on. Be in the middle of it all this football season at Dave & Buster's. Bring the kids, and while you enjoy the game on multiple big screens, they can get their game on at Dave & Buster's state-of-the-art arcade. Hungry? Grab a game-time appetizer or even a full meal and wash it all down with a draft or cocktail. Dave & Buster's, your football headquarters all season long. Dave & Buster's. Eat, drink, play, and watch sports. 2751 Wolf Creek Parkway.
Planning a family reunion, a class reunion, a wedding, or need an incredible place for guests to stay? Courtyard by Marriott in Collierville is the place for you. They're located at Carriage Crossing Mall, which puts your guests right in the middle of some of the best shopping and dining around. New to their Collierville location this year, the Bistro, serving Starbucks, breakfast, dinner, and evening lounge. Courtyard by Marriott at Carriage Crossing in Collierville. To learn more about our group rates and to make your reservations, call today, 850-9390.
Make your holiday entertaining a breeze with help from your Kroger Deli. You'll find great party platters, desserts, and more. Visit Kroger.com/order online today.
92.9 FM, 680 AM, and 92.9 ESPN.com. This is the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Who they want? Jeff Calkins. 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 Who they want? Jeff Calkins.
Right for the Daily Memphian. Daily Memphian was started by a bunch of local philanthropists who thought we needed more local news that was written by Memphians for Memphians, edited in Memphis. No corporate overlords or editors anywhere else. All right here in Memphis, Tennessee. You can read the Daily Memphian over at dailymemphian.com. They're giving away now, though, a penny package. And here is how you do it. You get two tickets. The game is sold out now. So two tickets to the Memphis, Tennessee game, a Daily Memphian hoodie, and a signed basketball from Penny Hardaway himself. Again, two tickets to Memphis, Tennessee, a Daily Memphian hoodie, and a signed basketball from Penny Hardaway himself. All you have to do to get it is go to dailymemphian.com/penny and register. dailymemphian.com/penny, and you can register for the Penny Hardaway package. If you want to, you can also subscribe to the Daily Memphian or give someone a gift of the Daily Memphian. Someone literally tweeted me yesterday and said the Daily Memphian was their best purchase of 2018. It is a mere $7 a month, 23 cents a day. The only way to read Chris Harrington and Jennifer Biggs and, even if you're so inclined, me. But you don't even have to buy the Daily Memphian to register for the prize package. Go to dailymemphian.com/penny, and you can register that way. Two tickets to the Memphis, Tennessee game, Daily Memphian hoodie, and a signed basketball from Penny Hardaway himself. Catch the Daily Memphian coverage while you are at it. Joined now by Gary Parrish. Gary Parrish, host of the Gary Parrish Show from 4 to 6 every single day. He's the National College Basketball Columnist for CBSSportsTom.com, an Emmy-winning personality and a rising star in the field of meteorology. He joins me now. GP, how are you?
I'm perfect. You okay?
I'm good. Before we get to the Memphis-Tennessee game, I got a few things I want to talk to you about. One is Mike Norvell. He's staying. You happy about that?
Of course I'm happy about that. I don't believe that Mike will retire as the University of Memphis coach, But I would certainly prefer it. There's nobody I'd rather be coaching Memphis football right now than Mike Norvell, with the exception of maybe like Nick Saban or something. But, you know, if we exclude that from realistic possibilities, I want Mike to be the head coach of Memphis for as long as he can be the head coach of Memphis. And it looks like we're going to have him on that campus for at least one more year. Sort of my takeaway on this is I don't get into the business of telling coaches what job they have to take or what job they can't possibly take, because these things, there's a lot of factors involved, and sometimes what would be most important to me won't necessarily be most important to somebody else. But from purely a coaching career perspective, leaving Memphis to go to what CBSSports.com's football staff identified as the 8th best job in the Big 12, and the Big 12 only got 10 schools last year, that didn't seem like ideal to me. And I remember, and I told this story yesterday, talking to Dan Hurley when he was still the coach at Rhode Island 2 years ago. He was offered the Rutgers job, and he was, I don't think only talking to me, but he and I had a conversation about it, and he was just like, what do you think? And I said, do whatever you want to do, whatever's best for your family. It's a lot of money, and it is a Big Ten job, but I bet you this. You've got a good team coming back, and a year from now, you will have multiple job offers better than the job offer you got right now. Ultimately, he turns down Rutgers, and a year later, he gets the UConn offer. He's now the UConn coach. I would say the same thing about Mike Norvell. And let's just assume for the sake of the conversation that he passed on the chance to be the Kansas State coach. I bet you a year from now, he'll have a better job on the table than the Kansas State job.
It was interesting. The timing yesterday, of course, is that he tweets out what he tweets out, and then I subsequently talked to him. And then after that, we learn that Kansas State is hiring the coach at North Dakota State. Listen, I don't know what happened. I don't know whether he learned he wasn't getting the job, or whether he passed on the job and never had any interest in the job. Told him last week he never had any interest in the job. That's how these things usually work. You make, as you, I think you said it yesterday, you make the announcement about your intentions after you either decide to pass on a job or they decide to pass on you, and before it comes out, right? I mean, that's the way these things normally work. In the wake of all of this, though, and I, because we talked about it briefly on your TV, on your radio show, I wanted to just mention it. Because in the wake of this, yesterday I got a whole bunch of tweets about blackballing Mike Norvell. Why isn't he, like, why is he still here? The rumors, etc. And just say again, because you and I have both heard about this. People have been talking about the quote-unquote rumors for forever. And basically, the gist is that if what we've heard is true, it's not. It doesn't amount to hella beans.
Not at all. I mean, like, listen, this all became a thing. It was mostly a message board thing, an internet thing, a social media thing last year when there were some jobs that I and most people thought he was obvious candidates for, and for one reason or another, it just didn't materialize. Arkansas being an obvious one, Ole Miss, I think, also being an obvious one. And so you've got all these people talking about, well, he's, you know, there's a red flag and all of this. And I subsequently had conversations with, let's just say, people who are involved in these types of conversations. And if what I was told was true, like the thing that people keep referencing, it's just not a thing that prevents you from running a successful college football program. It is not a big deal at all. And evidence being, by the way, that it's not a deal breaker for running a college football program is that he's running a college football program. If there were really something in Mike Norvell's past that prevented him from running a college football program, he would not be the coach at the University of Memphis right now. That thing just does not exist. To the extent that he's got a, quote, skeleton, right.
It is funny. There are so many wild rumors, and I will tell you this, none of them are true. The wild rumors, like, none of them are true. So just stop it. This year was a weird year because there really weren't a lot of jobs that were last year there were some jobs where you think, okay, Mike might be a fit for that job. Like, that's one you might leave for. You would leave for Arkansas, right? There were some. This year, there weren't nearly as many that you would leave for. I mean, North Carolina, yeah, but North Carolina decided to go and hire their old coach who'd been, you know, they went a different route with Mack Brown. So but I think you're right. I don't see why you leave for K-State. Louisville, I guess you would have left for Louisville. And they obviously, but there weren't many. Like, this was not a year because Ohio State did what they did, and they filled from it. It didn't set off the domino effect. USC kept their coach, so that didn't. There just wasn't a whole lot.
Right. USC. Ohio State promotes. Kansas hires a retired coach. North Carolina hires a retired coach. So you don't start. So those jobs are you're not even really a candidate for them. And then the Ohio State promoting doesn't start the domino effect that often leads to jobs opening that might be ideal for you, that you might be a candidate for. It happens in college basketball every year. People start speculating about where this coach might go, where that coach might go. And one of the things I sometimes say about mid-major coaches who are, you know, probably on their way out is that the job that guy's going to get ain't even open yet. And that job's going to be opened by another coach taking a bigger job. And that just didn't happen in college football, really, this year. But next year, obviously, USC could possibly open. And if it does, Urban will be the headline candidate for that. But if for whatever reason he doesn't do it or they don't do it, then that'll start to create the domino effect. And honestly, and I know I might be in the minority here, but if I'm USC, I look at hiring Mike Norvell. There is not a job in the country that's too big for me to not consider him. I think that highly of him because, like I said, when his name first started popping for some of these jobs, he is smart, great with the media, a brilliant offensive mind, somebody who has a willingness to recruit and has recruited and won at a level above what his job historically does. He checks every box, as far as I'm concerned.
No, and you don't get like you don't find coaches who check every single box. They might be great coaches, but they're horrible with the media. Bobby Petrino, for example, like he checked a lot. He checked the brilliant strategist box, right, and wins box and whatever. But he's the media and he's a jerk. He also checked that box, you know. You don't find many who check every box, and Mike checks every box, and I am thrilled that he is returning. All right, the other story from the Sports Business Journal is about this about the American Athletic Conference television negotiations and about how they're asking their members or might be asking their members to sign over their grant of rights in order basically to assure that they do not leave during the course of the television contract. They can get more money that way, knowing that UCF's not going anywhere and Memphis not going anywhere and UConn's not going anywhere and Cincinnati's not going anywhere. In the meantime, though, after that is negotiated, all the other big television contracts come up, including the Big 12, etc. So if you're UCF, on the winning streak that they're on, do you say, okay, American Athletic Conference, in order to get more money, to help us as a conference get more money and us and me as a school get more money, here, I'm signing away my rights for the next 8 years?
I wouldn't. I mean, I understand these negotiations are more complicated than we're going to make them out to be on radio. And I am never been involved in high-stakes conference television negotiations. But I just think fundamentally, if you are a athletic department on the rise, an athletic department that is investing in your, high-profile programs, I would be very hesitant, if not unwilling, to commit to anything outside of the Power Five structure long term, because we've seen it before. You just don't know what's going to happen and when it's going to happen. I mean, imagine if Utah once upon a time would have just decided, you know, for a few extra million dollars here or there, we're going to commit long term to the Mountain West Conference. Well, they wouldn't be in the Pac-12 right now. And so I'm not necessarily comparing UCF to Utah, but UCF is, like Utah once was, a football program that is flourishing outside of the traditional power structure. They've really invested in men's basketball as well as football. They're in Florida. They're in a big market. UCF is a perfect candidate for Power Five expansion. So I wouldn't, if I was running that athletic department, commit to the American Athletic Conference any more than I'm obligated to do.
Is that also true if you're Memphis?
I think so. I mean, I think in the Power Five expansion pecking order, as long as we're being honest, Orlando, UCF makes a lot more sense than Memphis. It's Florida, so you get into Florida for recruiting purposes. I believe Orlando's a bigger market. Memphis football is an amazing place right now, but it's clearly not UCF football. And basketball, we've learned over and over again, just really does not matter. You know, there was a time where, proof that basketball doesn't matter, by the way, UConn women are in the American Athletic Conference. And there was a time where the Pac-12 was maybe going to eat up the Big 12, and then maybe the ACC was going to take some of the Big 12. Kansas was one of the ones that was reportedly going to get left out. Like, there was going to be no home for them. And that's Kansas basketball, one of the top, three, four, five programs in the history of the sport. When the ACC first expanded, I think they didn't take Syracuse, even though Syracuse is Syracuse and was coming off a national championship. So basketball is so secondary in these conversations. It's about football and market size, and UCF is probably preferable in those ways than Memphis. It is more preferable than Memphis. But if you're Memphis, I don't close any door. And we know that administration has been aggressive about trying to escape, not necessarily the American, but a non-Power 5 league to get into a Power 5 league. And again, I wouldn't want to inhibit that pursuit in any way.
It's interesting because they had been aggressive, but very clearly their talking points have shifted from we need to get into a Power 5 conference to we need to get more television money from our next contract. And I guess the devil is in the details. You're right. We can talk about this in the abstract, but it's hard to know what it means in particular and what outs there are and everything else. It's a little bit, to me, it's interesting because, like, at what point, if you thought you had a 10% chance of getting into a Power 5 conference in the next 10 years, or if you had a 1% chance, it's like when you're recruiting a basketball player, you often talk about you've got to make a judgment about whether you were going to invest your time in recruiting that basketball player or not. I guess the difference is you can win with different kinds of basketball players. Witness Virginia and Tennessee and Michigan, which are all winning without the necessarily. Whereas you can't really help. You can't exist long term in a prosperous way outside the Power Five. So I think you probably do whatever you can to get in.
There is no way to ever be what you aspire to be if you have big aspirations outside of the Power Five structure. Like, you cannot be the football program. You can't be a top shelf football program, with all due respect to UCF, unless you're in the Power Five, because there's no path to championships for you. Basketball, you can obviously exist outside of the Power Five structure. Gonzaga does it. Memphis does it. Connecticut does it. Right now, Nevada's doing it. But still, if you ever want to be at the table with the big boys, making money hand over fist, it requires you to be, on the other side of the rope. And I think that should, for every athletic department outside of the Power Five structure that really commits to the high-profile sports the way Memphis does in football and men's basketball, that should always be the pursuit. Even if it is unlikely, it should always be the goal. And I wouldn't want to do without, unless somebody could convince me otherwise and just say, hey, listen, we get X amount of dollars if we commit to the American, and that other stuff is just like a dream that's not coming true. Perhaps I could be persuaded, but big picture, on a very basic level, I don't want to limit my options in any way.
Memphis, Tennessee, obviously this Saturday. KenPom says it's a 10-point game. Does that sound about right to you?
Listen, Tennessee's clearly 10 points better than Memphis, but home court advantage in college basketball is a very real thing. And so that'll be the number, probably Tennessee minus 10, 11, 11.5, something like that. And it suggests that it could be a competitive game. And, I'll say this. If Memphis were to beat Tennessee on Saturday, it would be the biggest upset in terms of, nationally ranked teams, because it would be the third ranked team in the AP poll losing to a team that is 5-4 right now. But from a point spread perspective, I promise you, somebody that's a bigger underdog than 10 points is going to win a game this weekend. Just last Saturday night, Kansas was a 15-point favorite over New Mexico State, and it was a tight game in the final minute. Kansas was down with 5 minutes to play. So, basketball is a sport where upsets are more likely than they are in football for a lot of different reasons. So when you've got home court advantage, when you've got a streaky, and not just streaky, but also good, but certainly streaky shooter like Tyler Harris, that guy alone can keep you in a basketball game. We've seen him do it already this season. So I'll give him a puncher's chance. I'm not going to predict Memphis to win. I don't think many people will, but it's not unimaginable. Crazier things do happen all the time.
It seems to me to be the youth and the size both seem to work against Memphis in this one. So it's a little bit hard for me to get my mind around the fact that they might win. But obviously, yes, it is basketball. Have you, by the way, talked to anyone about coaches or ex-coaches, what they think about the Memphis team now that they see, and Penny as a coach, now that they see it on the court? You've talked to me about how they've said in recruiting circles that Penny's the real deal and is even better than expected, et cetera. Have you gotten any X and O feedback about Memphis basketball and how they are progressing as a team?
Yeah, I talked to a coach recently who has scouted them, and he said, first off, everybody speaks highly of Penny. And I'm not just saying that. If I didn't want to, if it was the opposite and I didn't want to get into it, I would just avoid the conversation. I'm not lying to you.
Right.
Everybody speaks highly of Penny as both a recruiter, as the face of a program, and as a coach on the sideline. But what one coach told me, and perhaps this just makes sense, is that he's like, he just inherited a bad roster, and the players aren't equipped to do what he wants them to do. And then this coach also said it looks like he's got, he looks like he's relying on JUCO guys, which he is. He said, but they don't make the extra pass. They don't necessarily make each other better. But that's all stuff that'll be fixed when he gets his roster. The consensus in college basketball, and I know people still push back on it for some dumb reason, but like Tubby Smith left him almost nothing. Penny cannot say this out loud because like he's got to be in the locker room with those kids every day. But he knows like this is going to be the worst roster Penny Hardaway ever has. It should be the worst roster he ever has at the University of Memphis. So you just like you get by however you can get by. But to the extent that Memphis has a problem in this season, it's not a coaching problem. It's a roster he inherited problem. And the good news is that there's a lot of evidence on the recruiting trail that's going to be fixed very soon.
GP, thanks very much. I will talk to you at 5:00.
I'll see you. Bye.
That is Gary Parrish. Listen to the Gary Parrish Show from 4 to 6 every single day. All right. When we come back, we are having a we're gonna have a debate. Steph Curry against my friend Charles Fishman, who's writing a book on the moon landing. Did man go to the moon? Steph versus Charles, mano a mano, coming up next. Jeff Gawkins Show. After that, Chris Harrington will join us. 92.9 FM ESPN. Looking for a thoughtful, memorable gift idea? Give someone a gift card to one of my favorite Memphis restaurants, Bounty on Broad. Do that, and you give them not just a thing, but an unforgettable experience. Bounty on Broad is a beautiful restaurant that makes you feel warm just to walk in the place. And the food is farm to table and exquisitely prepared. I've always loved the cornbread crusted fried oysters. It's one of my favorite dishes in all of Memphis. But I'm also crazy about the braised pork shank, the Moroccan spiced lamb ribs, the crispy Brussels sprouts, the creative drinks, the welcoming bar, and the sumptuous Saturday and Sunday brunch. The point is, give a gift certificate to Bounty on Broad and you're guaranteed to make someone happy this holiday season. Bounty also does private parties and has a special seasonal holiday menu. So give them a call at 410-8131. That's 410-8131. Or just stop by at 2519 Broad Avenue. Make someone's holidays merrier with a gift of Bounty on Broad.
When the deadline clock is ticking, an unreliable network can cost your business money. That's why you need Comcast Business. Our gig speed network is fast, and we go beyond fast with the complete reliability of 4G LTE backup, which means that even if something like construction accidentally knocks out the power, you can still upload that big presentation email important clients, invoice customers, and not take a hit to your company's bottom line. For a limited time, switch to Comcast Business and get an amazing deal on fast, reliable internet. Get 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines. Just one more way Comcast Business goes beyond other providers. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Offerings 12/31/18. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra subject to change. Connection Pro backup limited to up to 6 hours and requires Comcast Business Internet.
Indeed knows it's hard to find qualified candidates when you're hiring.
It's like finding a unicorn.
But when you post your job on Indeed, it's easy to find people with the skills you need.
Nurse practitioner, 4+ years experience, acute care certification.
Indeed has a huge pool of amazing candidates and screener tools that help you find your most qualified applicants.
Whoa, an entire shortlist of unicorns.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
I'm a real person, real voice, and a real face. Even though you can't see it because, you know, radio invisibility. You know what else is super duper real? Geico local offices. A Geico local agent could tailor fit a policy to you, which could save you hundreds on your car insurance. All because Geico local agents keep it real, with real savings and real service. Really?
And there's more. A Geico local agent could help you with more than just auto policies, like motorcycle, boat, and RV insurance. Stop by or give them a call today.
Washing my nose, oh yeah.
I'm a shower curtain, and I do one thing. Keep water from leaking everywhere. So you see why I feel useless compared to Geico, who does so much more. Like, not only could Geico save you money, but they've been around for over 75 years. And they give you 24/7 access online, over the phone, or on the Geico app. And they've got a 97% customer satisfaction rating. They do all this while I have to listen to this chucklehead. Oh, good, he stopped.
Washing my toes!
Oh, great, an encore.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Hey, hon.
Hey, babe. You know that skateboard?
Oh, no. How bad?
A sprain, maybe a break. We're headed to the...
No, not the ER. Go to Campbell Clinic after hours in Germantown or South Haven.
We don't have an appointment.
You don't need one. With Campbell Clinic after hours, you can walk in, get treated, and get home.
Okay, we're headed there now.
Campbell Clinic Orthopedics, the official sports medicine provider for the Grizzlies, Redbirds, and Tigers.
Make your holiday entertaining a breeze with help from your Kroger deli. You'll find great party platters, desserts, and more. Visit Kroger.com/order online today.
92.9 FM, 680 AM, 92.9 ESPN.com. This is the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, and now we're going to put this to rest once and for all. Did man go to the moon? On the one side, we have Steph Curry. He went to Davidson. He's a very fine basketball player, and he thinks it was a conspiracy, and man did not go to the moon. On the other side, we have Charles Fishman, author of The Walmart Effect, The Big Thirst, and is currently writing a book on the moon landings. Happens to be my best friend. He joins me now. Charles, how are you?
I'm great. I'm flying to the moon right now.
All right. Okay. Now let me.
You got me on the con.
Let me first. We're gonna give the floor to Steph Curry for his thoughts on this issue.
We ever been to the moon?
Nope.
Nope. They gonna come get us. I don't think so.
Elon Musk.
Sorry, I'm starting conspiracies.
They ain't been on the moon.
You don't think so?
Mm-mm. You gotta do the research on Stanley Kubrick.
This big back then. Bro. Yeah, you talking about we took something to the moon? I don't think so.
Okay. There you have the Steph Curry case. We didn't have cell phones then. We couldn't have gone to the moon. Charles, your response?
My response is there's no evidence that the moon landings were faked. And there sure are piles and piles and piles of evidence that they were not faked.
Like what?
Let's go right to the most extreme case. The reason we went to the moon is that we were racing the Russians in a vast geopolitical jockeying in the Cold War. Who was going to win the Cold War? And the moon race became part of that. The people who would have outed us are the people we were opposing, the Russians. They actually tracked us all the way to the moon and back. And so did the British. The British had one of the great telescopes of our era at that time. The British, of course, were on our side. But if the whole thing were fake, why wouldn't the Russians have revealed it at the moment it happened? Of course they would have. It's ridiculous. 20,000 companies, not 20,000 people, 20,000 separate companies built moon hardware. If the whole thing was fake, how do you keep the employees at 20,000 companies from revealing it was fake? Hundreds of scientists, literally hundreds of scientists, have been given moon rocks to study. Those moon rocks have changed the way we understand the moon and the Earth. Why would those scientists be in league with NASA? Why wouldn't they say the whole thing is fake? It's a little like asking us to prove, how do we know World War II happened? When I visit World War II battlefields, they just look like beautiful green swards and forests. Doesn't look like there was a battle there ever. It's just a stupid thing to say. It's not, forgive me, Tim Curry's obviously brilliant in his own realm. Going to the moon is not something you have an opinion about. You can have an opinion about whether you think we should have gone, but you can't have an opinion about whether it happened. It's like having an opinion about whether the Vietnam War happened or whether World War II. You know, we're friends with Vietnam now. We trade with them. How could we possibly have had a war with them? You know, it's just ridiculous. Not recently, but within the last few years, someone challenged Buzz Aldrin. Buzz Aldrin was the second man to set foot on the moon after Neil Armstrong, came down the ladder 20 minutes later. And someone showed up at an event where he was speaking and walked up to him afterward and said, "You're a fraud and this whole thing is a joke." And Aldrin was 75 years old at that point, you know, former military pilot. He just turned around and punched the guy. And you know what? How do you prove that gravity exists?
How do we know that Steph Curry really made all those shots anyway?
Exactly.
They could be a Stanley Kubrick thing. And the people who are in the audience, they're just going along with it. Were there people in the audience for the moon? There were people in the television audience, but they could have just been watching it on video.
There were a million people at Cape Canaveral, Florida, when we launched the largest rocket ever in history, the Saturn V. Now, you know, whatever. I guess we could have paid all those people off. It would be, in fact, a lot easier to pay off the people watching Steph Curry, many fewer of them. How do we know he's a two-time MVP? I don't know. How do we know he's an MVP? I don't know. Who really said that? Somebody issued a press release? I could issue a press release. Charles Fishman is the NBA MVP this year. So it's just...
Yeah, the funny thing is this is a thing, though.
What's sad about it is that he just sort of reeled it off in a casual way. In the 50th anniversary year, when as many people worked to send America to the moon as fought in Vietnam, 400,000 people worked for 10 years. So to just sort of dismiss the efforts of those people, most historians think that landing on the moon was the greatest single accomplishment of human ingenuity ever. So to just sort of casually dismiss, it's not just stupid, it's disrespectful, and it's ahistorical. It doesn't show anything except somebody being silly for no reason.
The funny thing is that what he actually said is, listen, we didn't even have the technology, we didn't have the cell phones then, we went to the moon. That actually it demonstrates just what an accomplishment it was, that you could literally build the computers to do these things. We didn't have what we have now, and yet they decided to go to the moon.
We didn't have anything. In fact, you know, we track everything with satellites now. They had to build a worldwide network of huge antennas, 80 and 90 feet across, because we didn't have satellites around the Earth to relay radio signals. So as the Earth turned, the moon signals leaped from one tracking station to another. But But it was an incredible, that's why it was such an incredible accomplishment. The computer that flew the astronauts to the moon has less power than the computer in your microwave oven. Your dishwasher has more computing power, literally, than the computer that flew the astronauts to the moon. And the accomplishment there is they didn't create little web pages. They used what little power they had to do the kind of math. Forgive me, not only can't Steph Curry do that kind of math, most people who major in math in college couldn't do it. But the computer did it instantly. It was the most advanced computer ever created at that moment. And yet it wasn't as smart as your dishwasher. So, yeah, that's the point he brings up, you're exactly right, underscores exactly what an amazing achievement it was.
How many times did we go to the moon? Or not?
We landed on the moon 6 times. 12 men have walked on the moon. The last 3 of those missions took a General Motors electric car with them. And they went careening across the dunes of the moon in the car. And we now have satellites around the moon, and they can literally take pictures of the tracks left by the moon car. We went 3 other times. Apollo 8 went to the moon in Christmas 1968. We're literally coming up on the 50th anniversary of that incredible mission when the astronauts read from Genesis on Christmas Eve back to Earth. Truly an amazing moment. We flew to the moon in December 1968 to beat the Russians. We didn't have a lunar module ready to test, so we just